Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I want to speak this morning on the life of Samson, a little bit on the life of Samson. So look with me to Judges. Judges chapter 13. You know, all scripture is God-breathed, which means it carries the breath of God, the life of God, and is useful. So this scripture is useful for you. And we're not going to look at the whole life of Samson. Actually, we're going to only look at the positive things. Is that all right? But there are some things you can learn about Samson that are negative. And I like learning about negative things in somebody else's life so I don't repeat them. So all scripture is useful, even to actually show me where people went wrong and why they went wrong. But that's not the message today. The message today is about victory. It's about winning over the enemy. And it's about how God works in our lives to bring about victory over the enemy. And we're just going to read verse 1 to 5 of chapter 13 and then unpack some more things. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, that's a long time under the hand of the enemy. That's a long time. Okay, I'm a little bit more than 40. But if I think nearly all my life to be under the power of the enemy, that's a long time. Verse 2, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or any other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Let's just turn to verse 24 of the same chapter. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him whilst he was in Mahadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, this really is about the work of God through a person. And any time God is going to do anything, and this includes today, he chooses somebody. He picks somebody. And I would put it to you that he picked you. He wants to do something about what the enemy is doing to people's lives. And so he picks you. He wants to liberate you first. Because when we come to faith in Jesus, Colossians tells us that we are taken out of the dominion of darkness and put into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So if we have faith in Jesus, Satan's power is lost over us. We become born again and we come into the kingdom of heaven. But then God actually has a plan to use you and me to set people free from the enemy's work in their lives. And I just, you know, behind all of this is the heart of God for people. Because it's not just about power, it's about love. And love actually motivates God to go out and set people free and to choose you, to equip you, to anoint you so that you become the answer for the people around you. Now, Samson actually was born through a miracle. His parents couldn't have kids. And often you find the Lord begins to work where people can't achieve things. where actually they begin to almost get discouraged, but not in the wrong way. They turn it around for good. Often when people start to get discouraged, they begin to use that discontent to get before God and say, God, I want a miracle in this situation. And so this couple couldn't have children. And it was a problem to them. But God wanted children in the nation, and that was a problem for him. And so these two solutions come together in the one miracle. And that is Samson is the answer. And God brings his word to this couple and says, you're sterile and childless. So he tells them what they already know. I just love the Lord. He just comes straight out with it. You're sterile and childless. Mm-hmm. Thanks for reminding me. But he says, you're going to give birth to a son. And he says, this child will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hand of the enemy. So basically God's saying, I'm going to solve your prayer, but I'm also going to solve my will to see my people delivered, to see my people set free. So this miracle birth happens through a word from God. And everything that God does starts with a word. That's good. Absolutely everything. All creation began with God speaking. We cannot be children of God without hearing the word, the truth of the gospel of what Jesus did. Once we've heard what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection for us, and we actually accept that truth and believe, through faith we are born again. That is a miracle birth. You're born of incorruptible seed, or born of the Word of God, or you are born of God. So God gave birth to the new person in your spirit. The first birth, we were powerless to be free and win over the enemy and over sin. The new birth is already created in the image of God and actually destined and has power to win over all the attack of the enemy. So the new creation, who you are in Christ, is a winner. Because the Bible says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, why is this important? It's very important that you and I are trained to think spiritually. Because if all we do is think about life in purely natural terms, by what we see, touch, taste, smell, by what's going on around us in the world, then we cannot win. Because we must see spiritually to win a victory over the enemy. We must see that we are new creatures in Christ, that we've been born of God, and that actually God has placed us in Christ. And he lives in us now. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of victory. So God's solution for the whole world is miracle births. People who are born again. And then he fills his children with his spirit. We're all baptized in the spirit for those who ask and receive. Romans 5:17 speaks of it like this, that those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, if we trace back why the Israelites were not winning, we can trace it back to sin. Sin defeats a person. It's clear. righteousness causes us to reign. But the righteousness that Scripture says is ours is actually a gift and not earned. So we receive righteousness as a gift from God. And that righteousness causes us to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. How many of you today have situations where you need to see the reign of God? Can you lift up your hand? Not everybody, surprises me, but if you were actually on the front foot, it would be everybody. Because we're here to see the reign of God, not just for us, but for the world around us. But we are here in God, in Christ, to see the rule of heaven. Here to see the government of God, the reign and victory of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, when he was baptized with the Spirit, in Luke 4 you can read about it, he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free." So Jesus was saying, without the Holy Spirit, I can do none of that. But because the Holy Spirit has filled me, I am anointed to heal, deliver, set free. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is the key to deliverance, to being set free from the power of the enemy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Word of God together bringing us into victory. Now the word anointed or Jesus Christ, the word Christ means the anointed one. So whenever you read in your Bible Christ, it means the anointed one and his anointing. And the anointing on Jesus actually empowered him to deliver people, to heal people. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can bring victory over every addiction, over every eating disorder, over every mental problem, every depression, every oppression, every affliction, every sickness, every weapon of the enemy, every spirit that torments people. The anointing destroys or breaks the yoke of the enemy. So when we say we are in Christ, Christ means we are in the anointed one and his anointing. And if Christ is in me, the anointing is in me. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not waiting if we've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, been born again, and if we have asked for the Holy Spirit to fill us, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we are not waiting for an anointing. Tell somebody next to you, I'm not waiting for an anointing. I have an anointing from the Holy One. Christ is in me, the anointed one and his anointing. Now what did the anointing on Jesus do? Everything I've already said. Healed everybody, delivered everybody, set everybody free. He lost no battles. Amen. Just say he lost no battles. That'll do you good already. And so therefore, it's possible for you to lose no battles. Because you are in Christ, and his anointing is in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, think of it, lives in a believer. An ordinary believer. Every believer, without you being an exception. You are not an exception. You have been included in Christ, in the Anointed One and his anointing. And Jesus was baptized with the Spirit for the purpose of seeing the work of God happen in the earth. And one of the main emphases of the anointing is to set people free from the enemy. That's why Samson was born, that he might begin the deliverance of people from the hand of the enemy. That's why you've been born again, that you might begin deliverance from the enemy for all those around you. I don't know why you're not happy about that. The world would be happy if you were happy about that. If you got excited about what you've got, it would actually change your world. Just say, I'm here to begin the deliverance of the people around me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You have an anointing from God. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You're a son of God through faith in Jesus. And you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now in Isaiah 10:27, the scripture says the anointing breaks the yoke. And a yoke, symbolic really of like an oxen who has heavy wooden structure to keep it constrained and moving in a particular direction. The anointing, you see, the devil wants to keep people locked up and under his power. But the anointing that you have breaks that wooden yoke. In fact, the anointing reduces it to powder. It also lifts heavy burdens where people are burdened. Like a donkey, if you've ever seen a donkey, so piled high that it's like hardly able to move forward. And this is a picture of what the enemy does to people. He so puts heavy burdens on people that they have hardly enough strength to move forward. But the anointing actually lifts that burden off and removes it far away from that person. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will be with you and will live in you. So we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come this way. We're waiting for a release of the anointing out of your innermost being to flow rivers of living water. The anointing you have is powerful, destroys yokes and lifts heavy burdens off people and sets them free. When Jesus saw the woman who was burdened and actually tormented with a spirit of affliction for 18 years, she was bowed over. Because that's what the enemy does. He makes people bowed over, bowed down. Jesus saw her and said, woman, you are loosed from your affliction. Because that's how the anointing is released. Through words. I hope you're listening today. The anointing you have is released through speaking words to destroy yokes. So Jesus said to that woman, woman, you are loosed. You are freed. He declares the enemy has to leave that woman. And she straightened up. Immediately, what was upon her life, she got set free from. Now, I have experienced the anointing break the yoke over my life. I've known people in this church addicted to drugs, and the anointing has liberated them in a moment from addictions. Depression, oppression is lifted off when we issue words of command out of our hearts, out of our spirits, and say, in the name of Jesus, leave. And at that moment, every heavy yoke and every bondage has to go in Jesus' name. But you see, we spend a lot of our lives just thinking about how we feel and what we think, rather than discerning what the enemy is doing. Because if the enemy is behind a problem, then the problem that the medical people say or psychologists say isn't really the problem. And why try and stop a problem when it's actually you're barking up the wrong tree? If the problem is the enemy, we must discern spiritually what's going on, so that we can address the spirit world as Jesus did. What did he do? He said, be quiet to a man who spoke out in a synagogue. But he wasn't speaking to the man, he was speaking to the demon who was working through the man. And he said, come out of him. And at that moment, the man was liberated from demonic power. So the anointing you have is the same anointing as Jesus. And that's why you can do the same works as Jesus. But they won't be done unless you use your anointing and issue commands. God is not going to do it. You are. Just say that nicely to somebody. God isn't going to do it. I am. Now, how does this relate to Samson? Well, Samson was born of God. And it says in verse 24, he grew up, the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit began to stir him. I love that. And really, this is kind of just to unpack how you can begin to be used by God and used by the anointing that you carry, that the Holy Spirit will actually work through your life. First of all, Samson grew up. And you know, once we're born again sons, but we do need to grow. And the way that a believer grows is through the Word of God. The Word of God is like milk to a new believer. So just as a child needs milk to grow, so a new believer needs the milk of the Word to grow and to be strengthened. And after the milk, there must come a change in diet, and it's called meat. Which is why God wants his church to grow up from beyond the baby stage of just feeling so comforted blanket. Into somebody who is taking responsibility for getting up in the morning, cleaning their teeth, showering, going to work. Growing up and meat. We need a different message in order to be able to grow stronger. Yes. Your diet, you actually are what you eat. Yes. You actually are what you eat. If you only eat a little bit of milk of the Word, let's just read a little promise. Oh, good, that's it for the week. You will remain childish, like an infant. But God intends you to grow up. Now, the Word is actually the food you need. And the Word actually doesn't just need to be read like food. It needs to be digested, processed, so that your whole body works. So it's not just the Bible that you read, it's the Bible you do. It's not just the Bible you read, it's what you do with what you read. That causes you to be strong. You know, I have a constant battle in my life because I like food. I like the Word, the food of the Word, but I like crisps. If I'm honest with you, crisps are what I really like. And no cake. I can eat. I don't need cake. Yours is cake. Mine is crisp. Donuts. David, you're right. Donuts for this man. For me, crisps, salt, fat. The salt and fat mixture, although I hate McDonald's. I've never liked McDonald's, but I do like nice kettle chips. Anyway, I digress. What was I saying? Where was I going? And I can just go on my favorite food. But it's the same, like, I need to move beyond what I like into what's good for me. And I also need to exercise. Now, I actually don't like exercise. Is there anybody here who doesn't like going to the gym and really keep... you can't tell. And, you know, it's one of those disciplines that I don't like to keep. But if I don't, I'm going to have a problem. And it's something that I have to work almost against constantly in my life. I have to, because I mean, especially on a Sunday afternoon, tired, chocolate. You know, there's a shop around the corner. I know what they sell. I know what's in there. And it's something that you have to work against. Now, it's the same with your spiritual diet. Sometimes you must change your diet to get different results. Change what you do to see something work. And so Samson grew, and I believe we need to grow up in our diet and put it to practice in different ways. So we're seeing more of the anointing released through our lives. To be the same this year and next year and in 10 years for me would be personal failure with what God has given me. And I don't want to fail. I want to run my race and win the prize. I want to see people delivered from oppression. And I want to see that anointing set captives free. And so I need to feed and grow. But then Samson, it says, the spirit began to stir him. And I believe God is stirring us, don't you? He's stirring us to go for our call, our destiny. He's stirring us to fulfill the call of God for our lives. You know, Samson's parents, the dad must have been quite a practical guy because he says, what's his work going to be? What's his rule of life? And to God, yes, it is important, the job you do, but not as important as the anointing on your life to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Do both and you will succeed. But first of all, you're a man or woman of God. And then you're a nurse, a teacher, whatever your job is. But your primary call is that you are a man or woman of God. And so Samson, he was set apart from birth to serve God with his life. And the Spirit began to stir him. And the Holy Spirit wants to stir you to be dissatisfied with what you've seen happen so far with your life. He wants to stir you to say, actually, this is not it. There's a lot more yet to come. He wants to stir his church into believing him for unusual miracles. To believing him for unusual breakthrough for our communities. This is not it yet. We have more of what we have to be released. The anointed one and his anointing can do much more than we've seen yet. And so the church is like Samson. The Holy Spirit is stirring you to go for greater things in God. To reach out for more of what God has for your life. I go to Mongolia not because I want to, but because the Lord wants me to. I actually never want to go. I was happy to send the three teams that went before. But when God actually said to me, actually, you need to go and do a conference, I was like, and I've learned that you don't say no to the Lord. I learned that quite early on. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. But he wants me to go with joy, so I am. I'm going with joy. But it's one of those things that you just know that as I step out into the destiny, you see, the Spirit stirred me to go. There's going to be an outbreak of power, of the kingdom of heaven, and deliverance for that nation. I know what God has said to me. The Lord gave me a picture the other morning. He's stirring me. You see, he gives you things in your spirit. He gives you dreams and visions. That's how he works. And he showed me this ship that's slightly off course. And he said, I'm going to bring truth through you that will bring the church back to the right direction. I mean, for me, I know why I'm going. I know I'll see healing, but I know I'm there to bring the church into the will of God. He stirred me up. After I gave him my yes, I'll serve you. He stirred me up. And he wants your yes, I'll serve you. And then he'll stir you with the things of God. If you look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll finish with this. 2 Timothy, praise the Lord. You see, the anointing on our lives is not to come down on people. You know that, don't you? There's so much that Christians can get kind of like on the wrong victory path on. Have you ever, do you know what I mean? They make an issue their goal to sort. Like, for example, same-sex marriages. If we have an anointing that destroys the work of the enemy, then we can undo with words in our bedroom what the enemy is doing to bring people into a perverse lifestyle. We're not here to attack people. We're here to undo the works of the devil. And anywhere the devil is, there's agony. If you don't see spiritually and you just take on causes that the world takes on without the understanding of the Lord, you will attack people. But our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness. And we're here to come down on the devil and not on people. Yes, amen. We have to be so clear that God loves people. And it doesn't matter what you were in before you got saved, he loved you before. While you were still sinners, he died for you and me. And so we're talking about a spiritual battle, a spiritual war that brings victory into people's lives and releases the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, this anointing does attract the enemy. Once you're stirred up and you begin to move in what God has for your life and for other people around you, Samson actually very soon afterwards started to move in his purpose and his destiny, and a roaring lion came to attack him. How many of you have begun to move and a lion comes out from nowhere to get you? And that lion actually is sent by the enemy to put out the one who's got the anointing to set people free. And so it's all because of what you carry and the destiny and purpose of God for your life that the enemy attacks you. So he's making you because he fears what you've got. So he targets you. But God has given you the power to win every battle. Samson, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. So there is a supernatural power to deal with everything that comes against you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater than a lion, greater than a bear, greater than a principality, greater than a government, greater than anything. Greater one is in you. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing. And so the enemy tries to stop anointed believers moving out and seeing that anointing put to work. Okay, that's his plan. It's how he works. And Timothy, Paul spoke to Timothy in verse 7, and let's read this. Well, actually, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you or us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind or self-discipline. God did not give you a spirit of fear. Now, Paul starts to speak about the anointing that Timothy's carrying. And I believe God wants to speak to every person here about the anointing that you're carrying. The gifts of God in you because of the Holy Spirit in you. So can I speak to that person right now? The one that actually he created, the new creation. Because of what you carry, God has already given you gifts, a grace, an anointing. But Paul says, don't neglect it or let it lie dormant. You know, you can have everything as you do, and the anointing almost be asleep, inactive in your life. I think there's nothing sadder than seeing somebody who's got everything and doing nothing with what they have. And Paul says to Timothy, stir up or fan into flame the gift of God in you. So do something about what you've got. Now, this isn't God doing something. This is Timothy stirring it up. And so he says, make what you've got more dominating. Make it stronger. So like a fire, if it's a little flame, put fuel on till it becomes a furnace. I mean, I would love to say that on a Sunday morning, everybody came in here so fired up that we wouldn't know what to do because God was doing so much. And that was before we even sang a song. Wouldn't that be awesome? Everybody stoked their own anointing, their own life in God. They fed their spirit so much that when they came in, they're like, wow, isn't God amazing? I've had such a week. I healed such and such. I saw God deliver that person. It was incredible. Not, oh, I need another dose. You see, I believe that there is a secret here to seeing the release of power. And that is to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. To feed the flame and fuel what you have. How do we do this? Well, first of all, you put more fuel on the fire. So you actually increase the amount of word in your life. A little word will not cause a blazing fire. But if you put in the word of God continuously into your heart, then fire will burn stronger. Prayer also. Prayer actually causes that flame to increase and burn stronger. And your prayer life is a way that you can stir up what you haven't got. And you fan into flame what God has put in you. To actually come to a meeting to see the anointing released in your life is not what God intends. He intends to build you up in meetings, but he intends you to live in the anointing all week. And therefore, one of the secrets is that you are stirring up your spirit, your life. One of the things I do when I'm needing to see more of a release of the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. The gift of tongues builds up your inner man. It strengthens you. I absolutely believe we need this gift on a daily basis. I don't believe it's for special things. I believe it's for an ongoing strengthening of God in our lives. So praying in tongues increases and fans into flame the gift. But also, something that increases the fire is actually stepping out in faith and healing somebody. You want to get increasing in the gifts. You start to use what you've got. Start to put what you've got into operation. And you will begin to see a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In this room, there is enough anointing to heal everybody, to see people set free with the truth. There's enough anointing to liberate people in addiction, in diet abuse, in all kinds of anger problems, behavior disorders. I mean, we have an anointing that destroys the yoke. And so using it will build up and stir up what you have. So Paul says God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. When the enemy comes against you, at that point, he wants you stepping back in fear. And God says, I haven't given you. That might be your natural response, but it's not who you really are. You are not a timid person anymore. The old you died. And the new you is Christ in you. And there's nothing timid about the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah eats demons for breakfast. He defeated every last one of them through the cross. And now we're doing a mopping up job. And everything that comes against you, actually you have power to eat for breakfast. Everything that causes fear in your life, God expects you, through the anointing and the word of command, to tell it to stop. Release the anointing through words of command. In the name of Jesus, I command you, stop. The way the enemy works is just like old Goliath. What did Goliath do? He intimidated through words. He just kept speaking to the army of Israel. Just kept speaking. You can't beat me. I've got you beaten. He looks bigger than most. And he certainly has a lot more words than most. That's the devil. Keeps going on with the same words. And actually, the words he speaks is usually negative and cursing. To tell you how bad the future's going to be. To tell you how you are going to lose. To wake you up at night just to tell you that he's got you. There are bombarding spirits, I call them. Excuse my kind of terminology. It's not absolutely in here, but it's happened to me. Where they just keep going day and night, hitting your mind like the armies of Israel, and Saul and the whole army of Israel were in their tents saying, we can't do anything about this. All you need is one anointed man or woman of God to step up and in the face of the biggest fear-driven words coming against you, say, you come against me with that. Well, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to have your head for breakfast. It's interesting that the devil's head got cut off, and that's the part that does the talking. Because the enemy uses words as weapons of fear, as weapons that discourage and bring down. Weapons that tell you you can't do something. Whereas the word says, I can do everything through Christ. Yeah. the anointed one and his anointing who strengthens me. I stir myself up in prayer. I confess the word. I declare in the name of Jesus, you will not have any rule or reign over my life, my family, over this church, and over the people I'm praying for. I loose the power of heaven to liberate everyone who is under my kind of responsibility. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of power, power to do the impossible by the anointed one and the anointing in you. You already have the power to win. He has given you a spirit of power. You already have a spirit of power. Then he says you've got a spirit of love. What is love? Love doesn't attack people. Love compels us to reach for them and to see their lives improve because of the anointing we carry. I had an amazing story about a guy called David Ndarahutsi. He's a friend of ours. We ministered with him in Burundi, and I know some of you knew him. As well. He went to be with the Lord quite a few years ago, but he was a real man of God in Burundi. And fantastic, fantastic, anointed, strong in the spirit man of God. And there was this guy in Bujumbura who was a demonized man, and everybody was scared of this guy. And they would kind of run different directions when he came up. But at this one point, David was there, and this guy was creating trouble, and I think he was manifesting in some way. I don't know all the details, but I know what David did. Obviously, he would have ruled over the enemy, because you definitely don't treat the enemy with any love. You treat him with authority, and you issue commands. You never cowtail to anything the devil's doing. But you love people. David went up to this man and just put his arm around him like this and started to stroke his face. And this man who'd been so disturbed, and it was fear that had got into this man, a spirit of fear. This man just completely calmed down. And David walked away and said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And perfect love casts out fear. The perfect love of God casts out fear. We don't have a spirit of violence against people. We're violent against the enemy. We're here to destroy his work. But we love people. And love is one of the strongest weapons we have to win people to Christ. We have a spirit of love. You can love people the same way as Jesus, because the Holy Spirit, see, it's not down to your natural potential, but about the love of God in you to keep loving, never failing, always believing, always hoping, always enduring. Love never fails. And the love of God compels us to reach the world for Jesus. Pleading with them, be reconciled to God. I was with Haley's guy on Sunday, and we led him to the Lord, didn't we? It's your work, really. I just got in on the prayer. And on Sunday, I mean, I said, no, you can't go. You can't. This can't be another meeting. You're 88. You're about to meet your maker. And he's crying, and I'm going, listen, you've got to get saved today. You must receive Jesus today. Today, you must. And he said, oh, I'll go and think about it. I said, you don't think any longer. You're 88. You could go today. You must not. And that's love. You see, the enemy makes us think, oh, that's pressure. No, it's love. That is love, because he now will spend eternity in heaven. Now, that's why what you're doing, guys, care for seniors, is so important. But love compels us to win people to Christ. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Samson didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. And his flesh ruled his life. And he lost the victory because of it. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you have a spirit of self-control. That means you and I can resist the temptations that come to cause us to move into unrighteous living. You can resist every temptation, every sin. What a victory. You actually can. God expects you. He's provided a way of escape out of every temptation and every sin. Now, why do we need the spirit of self-control? First of all, to see the anointing released in our lives, we need to be walking with God and not walking in the flesh or in unrighteousness. But secondly, I believe the world needs us to live a disciplined life so the anointing can reach them. If I'm living my life for myself in sin and doing what I want with my life, that means the anointing on my life is going to waste and people aren't being changed. I am needing to exercise self-control daily so that the anointing will be released. So many excuses are made. I've heard so many counseling situations where people say, oh, you've got a problem. Your problem is no bigger than the power to overcome it that you've got. You're not a failure, you're a winner. And that means in every area, not just with the power of the Holy Spirit, but also against sin and temptation. You can resist everything that would tempt you to sin. You have a spirit of self-control. And you can say no. You can say, I won't do that, because you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And it's in this way that the anointing of victory on your life will be manifest, and that the world will see the power of the Holy Spirit through you. Let's not waste what God has done. Let's stir up the gifts. Keep stirred up. Don't go to sleep. And don't let your flesh put you to sleep. But stir up your spiritual life. Feed stories about what Jesus has done. Read books about what Jesus has done. Listen to CDs, podcasts. Feed the word. Do the word. Start to pray different. Exercise the gifts you've been given in a little way. And you will see more and more of the anointing that breaks every yoke manifest in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.